You're listening to highlights from OTB AM, Off the Ball's new daily breakfast show. It's live every weekday morning from 7:45. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube or Twitter, or listen live at offtheball.com.
Peter, at South Africa, it's about as physical as it gets, as hard-hitting as it gets.
Yeah, look, it's always a big physical encounter against South Africa. We've been here before. To be able to bring your physicality, you've got to have your homework done, and we've tried to get that done over the last 10 days, 2 weeks while we've been in camp, and you know, we've had a good time in camp. It's been a lot of new faces, and we've got well gelled in together. So look, as you said, it's going to be a big physical performance, but I think guys are starting to get well prepared now and start looking forward to the game.
We've had a look at the team. Bundiaki starts. Jack unfortunately is out through injury. This is your first time probably getting a good close look up close and personal with Bundy as a teammate. Obviously you've played against him, I know he's been part of a few camps. What does he bring to the team?
Look, he's kept his head down this week. He's obviously done a fair bit of learning. We've only had one kind of brief camp before, so there's been a lot of learning for everyone to do, and he's kept his head down, he's worked hard, you know, we have all seen what he does on the pitch. So it was important for us all now to get our heads down and start working in one direction. Obviously, when you're out in your provinces, you're doing one thing. It's important to get back in as quickly and start getting your heads together and go in the one direction. And I think him and all the rest of the young guys and everyone this camp has really done that.
Were you surprised and disappointed by some of the debate regards the residency rule in the lead up to this game? Because a lot of it kind of focused on Bundy personally, which seemed quite unfair considering, you know, he's not the first guy to do it. And the route is there, and we as a country have benefited from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've been very lucky enough to play alongside some super players that have benefited and come in from that rule. And, you know, as you said, it's a rule that stands there, and Bundy or any of the lads who have done it have done nothing wrong. I can't understand why there was such a focus on him personally. I didn't think it was very impressive from a media side point of view, to be honest. But look, that's the job and the life that we run, and it's part and parcel of it. I'm sure it's water off a duck's back for him.
Eddie O'Sullivan joins us on the line this morning, this Friday morning. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Adrian. How are you doing?
All good. Just on that point, if we just pick up that point on Bundiaki, if we will. I know in your time there probably wouldn't have been the same level of project players. Like, there would have been some players, I guess, who weren't born in Ireland who would have played. Keith Gleeson is one that kind of jumps to mind. But what's your thoughts on players, I suppose, essentially being parachuted in, that seems to have divided the nation a little bit?
Yeah, for the record, I think Keith Gleeson qualified through parentage. So, there wouldn't be as much of it. But I think the strange thing for me is that the amount of focus on it, given that Bundiaki is not the first player. I mean, Gerard Payne was captain in 2014, I believe. CJ Stand in 2016. There wasn't half the discussion that time. I still think it's a valid discussion, and I do think the three-year residency rule is wrong. It should be 5 years, and it's going to go to that. And the pity is it's not going there sooner. But I think if somebody lives in a country for 5 years, and I'd like to see people take out a citizenship as well. You'd be entitled to a citizenship after 5 years and take that out, and that'd be fine. But I'm just surprised that it got so, I suppose, vitriolic this week based on somebody who did the same thing as two other players did before, and it wasn't the same debate. Now, maybe he kind of set himself up a little bit with things he said, that he was eligible for three countries and he wasn't strictly sure which one he'd play for. That doesn't help his cause. Mm. But in the principle of it, I think there was too much made of it, considering that we've already two project players. One of them, obviously, starting just then. And I'm sure Gerard Payne would have started if he was fit, so it was probably late in the day for the debate. It should have been had a long time ago.
Yeah, ridiculous levels of comment from some quarters during the week, I certainly felt. Just in terms of the South Africa test being first up, like, obviously it's Argentina and Fiji to come after that. Is a tough thing for Joe Schmidt to, like, it's the most important test really of the series. It's the one that probably the success of the series kind of rests on. There's no easing into it here. It's all duck or no dinner, as they say, with the South Africa test front up. Is it tough for Joe Schmidt to get his players to that level straight away with the first game being the biggest one?
That's a bit of a challenge, but look, this happens every year. You know, this is not the first time we've had internationals. We've had Ireland international before. In fact, we've had South Africa first up on two occasions, 2004, I think, and 2006, we had them first up. But so it's just the way it is. That's test rugby. You get a short run in, you got to make the most of it. There's nothing new in it. South Africa, yeah, it's a tough start, all right. But South Africa, we're ranked above them in the world. They're not in a great place at the moment. They had a disastrous year in 2016 under Coetzee. In fact, his first game, he lost to Ireland in that summer tour. They have steadied the ship this year, but they had they're probably hanging their hat on the way they played against France in the summer tour when France were down there. But I think France on a summer tour, you can never judge because I don't think they're that vested in them. But South Africa did play well. They played an expansive brand of rugby, which is what they're trying to do, trying to change the way they play. But I think they had a rough patch in the rugby championship. Their record is lost 2, 1-2, drew 2, which is quite an unusual one. But probably their worst day was that 50-point drubbing by the All Blacks. So they're in a place where they're not quite sure where they're at. And they still have to go on, and their autumn tour will be a benchmark for them as well, going back to South Africa. They have to get a couple of results. They have to play Ireland, I think, England, Wales, Italy. I think if they don't beat England, that nobody would lose so much sleep, but they do need to beat Ireland and Wales. So there's a lot of pressure on them, and they're in a place where they're not sure where they are. So I think they're vulnerable. I think we can get into them and put them under pressure and get ahead of them. They might find it hard to come back, but if they hit the straps, they could cause us problems. They're still a good team, but I think their worst thing at the moment is their confidence is a bit brittle, which is unusual for a South African team, but that's where they happen to be.
Also a little bit unusual with a South African team is that they might actually be targetable in the pack. I think they conceded something like 11 penalties in the scrum alone during the Rugby Championship. Obviously, we've got Cian Healy in there instead of Jack McGrath, but still some outstanding scrummaging in the Irish pack. Do you see this as something that we can really target South Africa in at the weekend?
I don't think so. I think they'll be sure their scrum is going to be locked down. You know, they are vulnerable there at times, and I wouldn't hang my hat on that being a turning point for us in the game. If it happens to turn out that way, I think that'd be great, but I wouldn't be banking on that being a fulcrum of the game. I think we might come under pressure too at the line-out. Like, they have that extra bit of height in the back row. The tight is even though he's playing seven, he's 6.5, 2 metres tall. So he could cause us problems. Although we have Peter O'Mahony, but our lineup will have to be on its game. Although having said that, we always know we can go to Devin Toner in a pinch because he's so tall. So I think the set piece would be a good contest. I think if one team dominates a set piece, I think that could be the turning point. But I wouldn't bank on it being a turning point in the game. I think the more interesting thing is that our tendency has been to go narrow when we get into the final third of the field. Won't be able to go narrow against South Africa because they're so physical. They're also in transition in their game. They overran us in the summer tour last year when they had to. Will they go back to type, or will they keep, you know, their width in their game like they've been trying to get? So for me, that's the interesting thing. But probably where we really have a huge advantage is in the kicking sticks. Elton Jantes is not a world-class kicker. He's very vulnerable under pressure. If this game comes down to penalties, like bang Sexton any day to bring us home.
And even out of hand, Eddie, like, is there an opportunity there from an Irish point of view? Like, we've touched on the pack there. The weakness for South Africa is, by all accounts, and having spoken to some South African journalists during the week, that the weaknesses do come across the backs. Is there an opportunity out of hand here for Sexton and for Murray to sort of give a few up and unders and test them out?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Murray would put it on the money all the time. I suspect you, in the situation we have, you'd use Murray to kick the contestables and your Sexton to find grass in the backfield. And I think it's important that our kicking game is on, because if we keep them out of our half, we pin them in their own half, they could get frustrated. They could start to take risks trying to run out of their half, and that could create opportunities for us. But I think it's a game that could go any way. But if you ask me to pick a winner, I'd pick Ireland, because I think we're probably a more balanced side at the moment. And we've beaten them the last six times we've played in Dublin. We've beaten them four of those times, so there's a good record there for us. I'm not saying we'll win it easily. I'd say we'll nick it, but I'd be backing us to do that.
One of the phrases that we've seen all week is that the countdown to the World Cup starts here. But surely that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. There's 19 Test matches between here and the World Cup. Surely in your time you weren't looking ahead to a World Cup that was almost 2 years away.
I suspect all Joe Smith's looking forward to is the Six Nations. That's always looming, you know. And the funny part about it is the turnaround between the Autumn and the Six Nations is ridiculously short. You know, it's basically 8 weeks to get your house in order. And in the middle of that, you've got European competition, you've got Pro 14. So your chance of getting your hands on the players is very slim. So it's actually a bit of a cannonball run between November and February to get your house in order for what is your RASA test every year. I mean, whatever happens in the Autumn, the Six Nations is what we judge the team on. So that's his big challenge. And I think, yeah, the World Cup is in the background always, but there's a lot of road to travel yet before he'll be naming his World Cup squad.
Eddie, good stuff as always. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, lads. Good luck.
Thanks a lot. Eddie O'Sullivan there on the line ahead of Ireland, South Africa this weekend. Interesting stuff there as always. And you can keep up to date with that game right here on Off the Ball as well over the weekend. Before we leave the rugby, we're going to hear Oisin's been a busy man this week. He's been out and about. He's been speaking with the former Munster centre, Jean de Villiers.
John, what can we expect from Saturday's clash between Ireland and South Africa at the Aviva?
Yeah, I think it'll be a hell of a game. You know, two teams, well, certainly Ireland being one of the top rugby nations in the world over the last 12 months and putting up some really good performances. There's been elements of inconsistency, I suppose, as well in some of their performances, but certainly they have showed that they can beat any team on any given day. South Africa, on the other hand, they are in a bit of a different frame of mind. They have improved a lot over the last 6 months or so, and they've got a lot to prove. So two teams that'll be in a very different space to the last time that they met in last year in South Africa. And South Africa knows the challenge that lies ahead for Saturday's game. It'll be difficult to beat them. It's always difficult to beat Ireland here in Dublin, and this weekend will be no different.
What can we expect from South Africa? I just spoke to Alistair Kotsia, the head coach, and he said that he's evolving his team. He's looking at 2019, but he said their defence has improved and also their set piece is looking a little bit better. He said that's very important, especially in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, I think you look at the three elements to the game that has really improved. From an attacking point of view, they are looking to evolve and have more of a ball-in-hand approach, which is good, you know, to have that intent. Defensively, they have really improved a lot and they're much more comfortable in the way that they are defending and might see some, you know, changes to the way that they defended previously when they played Ireland. Then set phase, we all know that's the start of any good attacking play, and you need a proper platform to attack from. So scrum wise, they've got probably four props that can do a very good job scrum wise, and from a lineout point of view, they've got three very tall guys in their lineout that they hopefully can use effectively. So improvement on all three of those fronts, but then it's all about the implementation on the game day.
And finally, the big question: what's your prediction?
Look, I'll always back South Africa. They definitely are not the favourites for this game, but with a bit of luck, the bounce of the ball, who knows, they might just sneak it.
Thank you very much. Ireland against South Africa, you'll be able to follow updates across the evening on Off the Ball this Saturday night.
You've been listening to a highlights podcast from OTBAM. If you want to watch us live, we're on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube every morning from 7:45 a.m.